Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second hour of the show starts right now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. Before the break, we were talking about the Rockets. I threw it at you, Nick. I want to get your thoughts on it because you got the pulse of this team pretty consistently, but you sit there and you see D'Antoni. You know when he's blowing smoke or just saying the politically correct thing, and you know when he actually believes in it. Obviously, offensively, he believes, somewhat to Barry's point before the break, look, they can run with anybody. They can probably score with anybody. I don't know if they can shoot with everybody. But defensively, it's got to be a concern, but it doesn't seem to be.
I don't know if he can motivate this team anymore at this point in terms of defense. If you're not happy with the way the Rockets are playing on defense at this point, I don't know if it's going to change drastically unless you get someone like a voice like the defensive coordinator that the Rockets had in the past. I don't know if that's going to happen. And they're going up against a team in the Boston Celtics who entering today are, I think, third in defensive rating, fifth in offensive rating. I mean, that's a really, really scary team. Five games this month and yesterday's game, or the day before yesterday's game that Boston had against the Thunder, was the first time they've been full force with all five of their starters, and all of them scored double figures. All of them. One, I think Jaylen Brown, he had 17 points. He only played 30 minutes. So they're a super efficient team. So if your shot's not falling and your defense is not up to par, you're probably not going to win against a team like Boston, even if they're on the road. But it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this at home, coming off that big loss against Utah.
And I'm thinking big picture, because the other thing is we talked about the buyout market. In the past, they were able to capitalize. A lot of guys that they were supposedly looking at, which weren't bigs, have signed. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist signed with the Mavs. The other guy, Marvin Williams, a three-point shooter, signed with Milwaukee. But we're talking about a big, because the other question that I would have, big picture, is they're committing to small ball for right now. What if, in the buyout market, they get that seven-footer? Do you revert back to playing with a big man in a more traditional style? Or are you just saying, hey, we'll use you in spot duty, but we're not going to stop small ball?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. With all the talk of them committing to it, it's going to be weird.
Isn't it kind of hard to go back?
I feel like it is. I feel like it's – I mean, I think you want to add a seven-footer or a big for depth in the playoffs. But I feel like – You had that in Capella. You had why are you going to
You did what you had to do, though, because you didn't have Covington. You had Capella, but you added the guy that you desperately needed, was a wing guy that could score for you.
Okay. And so now, so you're saying that they swap out Capella.
Get a poor man. I'm saying all along, they're looking for a poor man's Capella. By poor man,
exists.
I mean, he's not making 14 to 19 million a year.
Yeah, that may be, but I just don't even feel like when Capella was here, they were utilizing him appropriately in the offense. It just didn't seem that way. So this offense was get to the bucket with Russ, or step back threes with James, or one of those two finds PJ Tucker or somebody in the corner. They didn't run a pick and roll. They didn't run post ups. They didn't do an inside outside game with the way the Rockets did with Dream. Like, none of that existed.
Well, the pick and roll is Capella. Now out of the question.
Yeah.
Because you don't have anybody big enough to run.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It.
They didn't do it with a big. So I don't know that they change it if they get another big. I think if they get another big, it's a rim protector. It's a Rudy Gobert. Yeah, if you get a dunk, great. It's a JaVale McGee. It's a DeAndre Jordan. It's a, hey, if you can dunk the ball, great. Go up harder than Capella ever did. Just be a man about it and block shots. But if they go out and get a big, it's for rebounding and defense at this point, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to find someone that can rebound, play defense, and be like an offensive scoring machine. I mean, Clint Capella was a starter, and he wasn't necessarily an offensive scoring machine. So they had to kind of utilize his strengths, and that was being a rim protector, blocking, trying to get as many rebounds. That's why he had a bunch of double doubles, is because he can block, he can get rebounds, and he can get 10 or 12 points a game.
Gets those easy baskets around the rim.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you bring up the point tonight, Nick. I'm really, really looking forward to this game because, it, like I said, it's a mirror image of the Rockets, but maybe more complete 1 through 6 or 7. When you talk about a Marcus Smart, and I watched him again the other night, and I think you mentioned, Barry, the OKC game, but when push came to shove, he went down and laid the clamps on guys on defense. Didn't need help because, you know, most teams will double James. Marcus Smart's a guy that I believe that Brad Stevens thinks, go out and guard either Harden or Westbrook, and you're on an island, and I don't care, and I'll trust the results. But you go with a guy like Gordon Hayward, who, again, don't sleep on the fact he's big for a guy that plays the 2-3. Then you've got Brown and Tatum. So those four guys right there. And I haven't even mentioned Kemba Walker. So now there are five guys that can play small ball with the best of them. They've got some athletic bigs. Their bench is a little weaker than it's been in the past. But I think you could say the same thing about the Rockets. That's why I want to see how these teams match up, because it's going to be a good test for Houston to give them an indication of what they have to do differently.
What do you think of Bismack Biyombo? That might be a guy on the buyout market, because the Hornets have three centers.
He could
centers.
Be a homeless Clint Capella instead of a poor man's. But,
he's a guy that I was looking on CBS's list, and you know, when you go to his details, they talk about the fact three-man center rotation in Charlotte, and he's the guy that's not getting reps. He's the guy that's sitting at the end of the bench right now.
Yeah.
Is he another Tyson Chandler, or is he a poor man's
Capella? Well, he's young enough to not be a Tyson Chandler old-wise.
But I'm talking skill-wise.
But offensively, I don't think that I've put a lot of stock in him. You mentioned an interesting name, and I don't know what his contract status is. No, but DeAndre Jordan would be one guy that would pick Houston over the L.A. teams because it's home. Because of the fact that with Brooklyn doing whatever they're doing, waiting for Kevin Durant. He just signed with them. I don't know how for how long. But I know that he hasn't really panned out this year. But that's a guy that, if bought out, would be a guy that would love to play for the Rockets. I don't see a home run coming this year like I've seen in the past with Fareed and Austin Rivers.
He's got 4 years left on his deal with Brooklyn.
Yeah, then that's not going to happen.
And it's not that expensive. $9 million, $10 million, $9 million, and $9 million, well, $9.8 million.
And he gets bought out, then it's on you to just work out the details after that. But there's no way Brooklyn's going to be on the hook for
$40 million. It's basically 3.5 years at $10 million a year.
They're not doing that. Yeah, so I don't know. Like I said, in years past.
Because I think Brooklyn wants to wait, get KD back, and then let's see what we have with KD added to this team with DeAndre Jordan and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. I agree, but that's what I'm saying.
But
somebody like that
would be great.
I don't see that savior coming to the Rockets this year because, one, in the past, Rockets were 1A on everybody's list of who I want to play with if I get bought out. The L.A. teams are that now. And then, two, that there's not going to be the market there's been in the past for big names that could make a difference. If there's guys out there, Tyler Johnson's another guy that people were tweeting me, would the Rockets be interested? You don't need another guard. Mm. You need either a big man or you just need to roll with what you got. Because the other problem is that we've talked about D'Antoni has to build a trust with you. And if he doesn't trust you, he's not going to play you. That's why Mo Hartenstein is not playing.
Yeah.
Because there's the big that's got the size. He's got some offensive ability. He's killed it in the G League. But guess what? D'Antoni doesn't trust him, so he's not going to play.
It seems like every year that happens on this team.
Well, we mentioned Montrezl Harrell. Yeah. That's the biggest mistake D'Antoni ever made. And that's the other one. That for a guy that rewarded you all year for bringing him in off the buyout market, you punished him by not playing him in the playoffs when you needed rebounding. That makes no sense to me. So
I didn't like the Montrezl. Hartenstein, I feel like I can kind of understand why he's not playing him. The guy's just lanky. He's not really a big presence in the paint.
He finishes around the basket.
He does. And I don't know if it's a similar situation to Harrell. Fareed, I felt like he had like a big like a jump at the beginning and then he kind of tapered off. But no, I could see why. At some point, if what you have in terms of your rotation is not working, I would imagine most coaches would kind of dabble and test out the remaining part of your rotation to see if they can do anything late in the season. I just don't see that happening with Hartenstein or Mike D'Antoni in this particular season because of the trust factor. And he's big on that.
And the whole reason why Fareed didn't play in that playoff series is they thought he'd get exposed defensively. But when he filled in when Capella was out for an extended period of time, his numbers mirrored what Clint Capella's numbers were all season. You at least have to throw him out there, don't you, and say, hey, if it doesn't work out, I can pull him back. But I know we need help in this area because, guys, as you were talking, Nick, it just hit me. I don't know where Fareed is and what he's doing if he's bitter at the Rockets.
No, I'm sure he is.
He would be ideal for what they need right now.
I'm sure he's bitter, though.
Playing small ball. He has to be. Because remember now, when he was on Instagram, I think it was,
He might have. I don't remember.
He was Instagramming during the time that they weren't playing him, basically calling out the Rockets for not playing him and subliminally saying, I should be out there. That's not going to sit well with the Houston front office. Otherwise, I'd say, boy, that's the ideal kind of guy you want.
I mean, yeah. It would be nice to see more points being made. It's even the offense is evenly distributed across the roster, right? Because if you look at the Celtics, they have three players that are all averaging at least 20 points a game. And then the drop-off comes to Gordon Hayward, who averages about 17 points a game. But if you look at the Rockets, it's 35 points a game for Harden, 27 for Westbrook, and then there's a massive drop-off, and it goes down to 15 points a game for Eric Gordon. You can probably blame some of that because of his injury situation and the fact that he hasn't played every game. But still, their offense is more evenly distributed.
Sure.
With the Boston Celtics, and I think it would help if the Rockets could utilize something like that. I just don't see that happening in the near future.
It's almost pick your poison right now with the Rockets in the buyout market. Do you need to go get a big? Do you just go get somebody, even if they're not necessarily a big, but do you go get somebody that can rebound and play defense? Or do you go and get you some scoring depth on your bench? Because let's not forget, they're still not a good scoring.
Their bench is weak.
When they lost that game against the Jazz, that bench got woefully outscored.
Well, the Suns too. When you're looking, when you have an off night with your starters, you don't have the guys you could go to in the past when Gordon was coming off your bench, when Rivers was hot, and you could go, guess what? James or Russ might not have it, but we got guys we can go to that pick up the slack. You don't have that this year. So yeah, if you're committed to small ball, then go get you another small player. But if you're not, it's going to be hard to find a guy that has more size that can do more things impactfully. Because Nick's right. Here's the one thing you said. You're talking about the fact that from an Eric Gordon perspective that he's only averaging 15, but you could blame injury. Gordon Hayward still isn't 100%. He's still come back. Plus, this is the second injury. Then he broke his left hand earlier this year. So when he gets back to 100%, the ball sharing is spot on because of the fact that they got four guys that could average 20. The Rockets, you know where your scoring's coming from, and that's why it's easier to defend in the playoffs.
How much do you guys trust the Rockets Wire website on USA Today?
I don't know if I know that they got remnants of red in the corners of their mouth.
How much do you trust Ben DuBose?
I got to go. You guys
Seriously, from a source perspective, how much do you trust him?
It depends on what he's talking about. If he's being super positive, then I tend to not trust him. But
when is he not?
He posted an article.
But I'm talking about, like, if he's talking about something like sources tell me that
Rockets are,
what's his name, might be traded or something.
This is his quote from 2 days ago, Feb 9. Rockets reportedly made push for DeAndre Jordan at the trade deadline. So was it, let's go get him? We didn't get him. Damn, I guess we're doing small ball.
Not with 3.5 left on a deal. I don't see the Brooklyn buying that out.
But then, no, not a buyout, trade deadline.
I know, but because the deadline's over, you can't get him now.
But what I'm saying is his report was Rockets reportedly made push for Jordan at the trade deadline. So that tells me that the Rockets were still like, let's get a big.
Oh.
Then they didn't, so they're like, I guess we do small ball now.
Yeah, don't sleep on the fact. They wanted bigs, they just couldn't get one.
Yeah, so I guess they're like, well, we do small ball now.
Tristan Thompson, they wanted too, but then Cleveland says they're not buying him out. So
there you go.
All right, we'll see. We got more things to get to. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm old. Just asked Nick in the break, who's this? It's good. I just didn't know it was J. Cole. Most people would. My bad. It's on me.
A few years old now. It's probably 3 or 4 years old now.
I like it. It's got a beat and I could dance to it.
I think it's from Paula Abdul song, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you got me there. I mean, I know who Paula Abdul is.
Or he sampled it or something.
I do like that. And I was not familiar with J. Cole's work, so there you go. I'll have to indulge a little bit more.
I know of J. Cole, and I'm sure if I heard his songs, I'd be like, oh, that's J. Cole? But yeah, I have that shirt that says, I only listen to 90s rap, and that's a fact. AJ and I were talking about this the other day on the way home from the UFC fights, and we were talking about Eminem dropping that album and the current state of hip-hop today, and he said something I thought was really pretty accurate. He was like, you know, people that didn't grow up in our era of hip hop hear Eminem today and they're like, yeah, whatever. And he's not the Eminem that he used to be, but he's still head and shoulders better than any of the rappers that are, you know, most, I shouldn't say any, that's too generalized, but most of the rappers that come out nowadays.
For sure.
Even Eminem at 65%, can we say he's 65% of what he used to be? Is that fair, or is that too low, too high?
I just think his style is not valued as much. I think he still has
bars.
That's
probably a good point, too.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. Style, but he's still...
You look at him the other night on the Oscars. He came out. One, he looked different. And obviously everybody gets older, but he had darker hair, dark beard, all this other things. But at first people thought, well, who's doing the Eminem song? And they were kind of like making faces. And then when he started to really get into it and just let the rap go, people were like, this is badass.
But that's old school.
Right.
His new stuff that he's dropped, the current generation is like having nothing to do with that.
And wasn't there when it first dropped that people were like, it's pretty good. I did not hear it.
Our age, folks. I mean, if you're 20, if you're 18, if you're 15, you're not vibing with Eminem. You're just not. They don't dig that. Yeah. And but then they're, you know, and they'll look, I'm not knocking it necessarily. I know I've come on here and joked a lot, but I just think the difference is I hear it and I'm like, still Eminem at 65% is way better than half of the rappers that are out today. Easily. And it's just weird though, you know, but it's the same argument that's always been that case. When you looked at rock bands from the 70s, you say, oh, well, that was better than what they made in the 50s and 60s. And it's always going to be the case, right? I mean, it's always going to be the case. But I don't know. I hear it now, and I'm like, boy.
I mean, if you look at Eminem,
he is old,
too,
though.
Oh, yeah. And when he looks at the people, that the younger hip-hop artists that he works with, mm-hmm. they have to have bars. Otherwise, he's not putting them on. Like, someone like Joyner Lucas is not necessarily – I've been telling you about him. He was on that last album, not the one that just dropped, but the one last year. I think it's called Kamikaze. And the only reason why he put him on that album is because he knew he wasn't an auto-tune type of guy like a Lil Yachty mm-hmm. or anything like that. He wanted a guy that has bars. That's what he's accustomed to. And I don't think Joyner Lucas would ever be on that album if he had any type of approach that was similar to like a Lil Yachty or any type of these auto-tune. And I'm not knocking it because I've kind of embraced the auto-tune era, but he's just not that guy. Mm. Eminem has not embraced it, and he's been very open and public about it as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's interesting because after the Oscars performance, and again, the numbers are sneaky, Lose Yourself sales up 2,000%.
Well, we know what that means.
Right, so we know what that means because when you look at it, 4,000 sales after Sunday night. In the grand scheme of things, that ain't a whole lot. But I think from an Eminem perspective... Whereas in the past, he blew off the Oscars and things like that because he didn't need it because his popularity wasn't at an all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of trying to resurface again.
It seems that way. Yeah, well, he's got an album to promote.
You're not going
to
get as many any more eyeballs than you got Sunday night doing True. What he did. So you got to maximize and capitalize because as an older guy, he's not going to get that many more opportunities.
Yeah, that's a good point. Somebody said, I'm 24 and I like M. Have y'all heard of Bobby Fino, which is Arian Foster?
Oh.
Yeah, and I haven't listened to a lot of Arian's stuff, but he's talented. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's unfortunate. It's so difficult for athletes to kind of gain significant traction in hip-hop just because of the crossover effect. I mean, Shaq did a little bit, and we've done Way Back Wednesdays of athletes that had songs, but it's really difficult. But, yeah, Arian's a talented dude. You know, I mean,
I never heard his album either, but
yeah, not bad.
They're saying 4,000 downloads of the song, 7,000 downloads of the album. And he actually tweeted out in reference to the songs to Lose Yourself saying, look, if you had another shot, another opportunity, thanks yeah. for having me on the Academy Awards. Sorry, it took me 18 years to get here because when he was at his absolute peak, he declined and he won an Oscar for best song off of 8 Mile. So again, when times change and things are different, you got to capitalize on your last shot probably and last opportunity, and maybe that's what he was doing there too. But I thought it was awesome.
Somebody texted a really long text, but it does say, I grew up on UGK, Slim Thug, Paul Wall. The current rappers aren't worth considering other than J. Cole. And they said they really like J. Cole.
I think AJ is a J. Cole. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's one of the rappers that he likes is J. Cole. I mean, look, J. Cole.
He mentions Big Crit too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, there are some good rappers. I just think
that's why I backed off the generalizing, because I tend to do that. And you're right. There's still a lot. And that year, the Lucas Joyner, that Devil's Work, I love that song.
It's a great song.
Yeah. ADHD is good. And so there are some, I do have rappers on my, I mean, I have Plies. I have some guys. Wally has some good stuff out. But it's just in general, when you look at the depth of hip hop and artists, it's not nearly what it used to be in the golden era. And I hate to say that because it sounds so old.
You do sound like Clint Eastwood.
But there is literally a golden age of hip hop that was from, what, 86 to 96 is roughly considered the golden age. And when you think about the depth of music that came out in that 10 years in hip hop, there's just nothing that comes close to it.
You know, Eminem, he wasn't really popular until 99.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of these guys, even going as far as like the early 2000s, there was, I would even include that in your golden era of hip hop. There's a lot of guys in 2000, 2001, 2002 that had they had bars. I mean, auto-tune, the whole auto-tune thing, if that's your big beef with anything, and I'm not specifically talking about you, Barry, that really didn't come out to like 06,
yeah.
You know, when, was it not 2 Chainz, the guy who won the Masked Singer. He's the one who basically made auto-tune prevalent in 2006.
T-Pain?
Yep,
T-Pain, that's what it was.
Yep.
And so, really, there was a lot of guys, even in the early 2000s, that absolutely had bars, man. And they absolutely cared about lyrics. And it was just a different era. It was just a different time.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I was trying to find the exact, because I thought I saw it, but they say the golden era, the golden age of hip-hop, late 80s to early 90s. And so, I think most people give it 86 to 96. Because Biggie was, you know, in that Tupac, range. Yep. Yeah,
well, you had Biggie and Pac, man. I mean, Dre, it's hard. Yeah. How do you top that?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And then don't forget Puffy.
And because you had LL in the early going and, you know, the Public Enemy and all that.
Sure.
Early. And then Jay-Z and, you know, all those guys late. And in between, you had iconic groups as well. So Ghetto Boy, Scarface. That's really, to me, the best era. But, you know, I'm old, too. What the hell am I going to do?
I hate to admit it, as you know, but I guess yeah. More and more you guys remind me
I
that
do
I have
though. Like, if I go to my... Okay, now, I'm going to tell you this because you guys are going to make fun of me, but I don't care. On my playlist, I have different names for playlists, right? So the one that I have where current stuff that I'm listening to is my jams playlist. That's my jams. And right up top, it's Plies, Wally, and then the Jonas Brothers. And then Joyner Lucas, Post Malone.
Their free flow rap is outstanding. The Jonas Brothers.
But see, my first three of the four is Joyner Lucas, Wally, and Plies. So I'm trying to keep it current. I got several Joyner Lucas, Nipsey Hussle. I'm trying. Tech N9ne, you know I love that song. I'm trying to keep it current, y'all.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep it real, Joel. Who's your favorite hip hop artist right now?
There's so many for me.
MC Scat Cat from Paul Abdul?
No.
He's got to go down as the greatest rapper of all time, right?
I'm torn between Billie Eilish's new album and Selena Gomez.
Billie Eilish? Why is her name Billie Eilish?
Well, because the nails are so long.
Oh, gotcha.
She's got it all going for her. Hey, before we go to break, I do want to tell the people that we do like to give back to the suspects. So therefore, it is Mardi Gras Galveston time. ESPN 97.5 wants to send you to the annual Mardi Gras celebration on Galveston Island. It's February the 14th, and it begins 2 full weeks of parades, balcony parties, food concerts, and 3 million beads. Call number 12 right now, 713-780-3776. You win a pair of tickets for any day to enjoy the fun. Caller number 12, 713-780-ESPN. Visit MardiGrasGalveston.com for more details and ticket information. With that, we're going to head to a break. First half of the show is behind us, but the windshield is still full. We have plenty more to get to in the second half. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half of the show starts right now. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Oh, boy. Fellas,
somebody had a suggestion for it. I know exactly where you're going. Yeah. Somebody had a suggestion, and I forget what it was.
Oh, good. Thanks for bringing that to the table.
I had an idea, though. This is a simple. We can do this. It's easy. How about songs from any of the XFL cities?
Okay.
I mean, that's easy.
I'm down. I'm down with that.
That's fine.
There it is.
I'll figure
it out. Off next season, we'll do that.
Well, you bring up an interesting point because it should go making sure without it going another minute of the show. We should send out a heartfelt happy birthday to the one, the only, Johnny G, John Granato.
Yeah.
Happy birthday today.
So he's the youngest old dude I know.
You're the sons of benches.
You're the oldest young dude I know.
Thanks.
John is the youngest old dude I know. I hope that I look as good as him when I'm his age, feel as good as he does, can keep up with the youngsters like him. Like, yeah, Johnny is, that's hashtag goals.
There you have it. So happy birthday to the legend, John Granato.
The legend.
So that that is today as well. And tomorrow is a Wayback Wednesday. That's what we were discussing. So we'll figure it out there with songs from XFL Cities, home of your 1-0 Houston Roughnecks.
Yeah, I went to buy a shirt.
Yes.
Because, you know, as you know, and we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of Houston Sports Show, 11:30 every Sunday night, Channel 2 KPRC. And I have been wearing the first couple of episodes, I tried to be serious news guy, but telling jokes. So I wore a jacket with a button up, a collared shirt. And I just realized this isn't happening. I just need to be me. And I need to have fun and lighten up, loosen up. And I think it really started to take off. So at that point, which was two or three episodes in, I just started wearing Houston-themed T-shirts every week. So I probably have, and I tried to wear a new one. I had to try not to repeat it for an entire year. So I have probably worn, I would say, in the neighborhood of 45 different Houston-themed shirts on that show. I wore a Suspect shirt 1 week. I wore an ESPN 97.5 shirt 1 week. So anything involving Houston, and you know, businesses or otherwise, I've done that. I went to go buy a Roughneck shirt today. Mm-hmm. Sold out.
Oh, I heard like Johnny G mentioned it. So
most of the good ones sold out.
But Johnny G and Nate mentioned it on the broadcast, like the lines at the concession stands for the souvenir stands for the T-shirts and all the gear were like crazy long, trying to snatch that gear up.
So I went to the shop.xfl.com, mm-hmm. and I went to buy, they have a really cool black Roughneck shirt. Tried to buy that. Gone. This white one that says Houston Roughnecks got a little football on it. Gone. Like a lot of them are sold out. There's a few that aren't, but there's a reason because nobody likes them. It's not like every Texan shirt is sold out. But just the sheer fact that there are Roughneck shirts, designs that are selling out is a great thing.
It is a great thing.
That's a great thing for the city and the fans and the Roughnecks and the XFL. Good for them, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
Somebody's marketing it, right? Obviously.
I had to hit up Raheel. I was like, bro, I tried to get one of the cool Roughneck shirts. Can you hook a brother up so I can wear it on Sundays? I want to represent the Roughnecks on the show.
Is he coming through?
I don't know. You ain't over Hill. He'd be like, I found this towel.
I was just going to say, he's got a towel for you.
I got this towel you can use.
You beat me to that one. But let me ask you this. So where are we? I know you've switched fandomoniums in the NFL. Where are we?
Chiefs Nation, baby.
Are we good with the guy that looks like ZZ Top on steroids that paints his face during the Texan season and gets all geared up and is the crazy Texans fan that everybody shows all the time? He's doing the same thing for the Roughnecks. Same get-up, only a Roughnecks jersey.
Okay.
We good with that?
He was a Texans guy?
He does it for the Texans.
Yeah, I'm all right with
now
it.
He does it for the Roughnecks.
Yeah, he's an H-Town fan.
He's representing
Houston.
He's just
a big football fan.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just asking. I wouldn't have a problem with that. That'd be like if Rowdy Granny was Rowdy Granny for WNBA Comics or something like that. If she was Comic Granny, that'd be fine.
So if there was a Kansas City XFL team, would you have would you have been a fan?
No. Because there's no reason to abandon the Roughnecks. They haven't done anything to make me angry.
Give them time.
I don't mind June Jones. He's 1-0. He's got a better winning percentage than Bill O'Brien.
See, he was dropping the puka shell necklace, too, after the game.
Yeah. I'm good with that.
Okay. We'll see what happens with that. But I was just asking because of the fact that I think it's kind of neat. I'll tell you this, from an internal standpoint, and this goes back to, remember the guy's name was Clipper Darrell? He was the guy that used to go to the Clippers.
I remember him. Yeah. I've interviewed him before, actually.
Yeah, and he's a really good dude, right? But they love the fact that he was the unofficial mascot, quote-unquote, representation for the Clippers, okay? Until he came to the Clippers one time and said, you should probably pay for my tickets or do something. And they're like, screw you, but we want you to make a – they had him doing appearances. They had him doing everything. And then when he didn't agree to everything that they said, they fired him. They basically said – they didn't. Wow. They just said, we're not going to hire you anymore to do these kind of things.
Wow.
I was like, that's kind of harsh because he's basically doing goodwill and community work for you every single time people see him.
He did want to be compensated right. when we interviewed him. He does tend to ask for compensation yeah. quite a bit.
And it got to be a problem.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So I guess that's out.
I can tell you from a front office perspective.
I got asked to be a speaker
or
something. I guess I'm not going to ask to get paid.
At least for the from the people that I've had to deal with. I can tell you that publicly they try to be supportive of the other two teams. But behind closed doors, they take it personally. They feel it's a competition, and they're competing for the fans of Houston, and they feel like the fans of Houston can only pick one of the major three teams, and it's a big deal. And I was surprised by that when I first got into all
I think that's so stupid, too.
I do, too.
It's not a market share situation. You're right. either a fan of basketball or you're not. You're either a fan of baseball or you're not.
Or you're either a fan of Houston either a fan sports of, teams or you're not, right?
Well, and you know what? You're trying to tell me? I mean, how many fans do we have out here that are you know fans of the Texans and fans of the Astros, but they're not fans of the Rockets? A lot. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people here in Houston that are Houstonians, and they're just not Rockets fans. And you can make the argument for the Texans. And for it's not the same dynamic. You can't sit there and fight with the assumption that you're trying to become the trying to get every fan to be a fan of just your football team or your basketball team or your baseball team in a city, in one city when there's multiple sports. It just doesn't make any sense.
That's not how, I mean, you're a fan of a sport, but you're also a fan of the city.
And the players.
And the rep and who reps your city. So it'd be different if you were one of these wishy-washy flip-flopping ass Cowboy fans that when the Texans do good, they're Texans fans. Or one of these, huh?
Or Chiefs fans.
No, that was a business decision. Listen, I'll tell you like I told that other dude. I have been a lifelong Chiefs fan for 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. Okay? I don't want to hear it.
Chiefs Nation or Chiefs Kingdom? Just asking.
Both. Both, bro. I started the Nation.
Oh, okay.
Don't you dare question my loyalty to the Chiefs, man. Okay. I mean, for God's sakes, man, my logo on Twitter is the Chiefs logo.
Drop it
what
up.
What more proof do you need?
How many t-shirts do you have?
Chop it up.
I don't know, I'm talking to you. What?
Chop it up.
Hey! Yeah, see? All
see, to
day,
your
baby.
Point, though.
2 weeks now I've been a lifelong Chiefs fan.
To your
and
point.
And it's great. But you can be a fan of all the teams in your city. You can be a fan of whoever you want.
Right.
But at the end of the day... But making somebody
factors.
Choose is just absolutely asinine if it's all from the same city.
There's
now, if you're saying that, hey, you can't be a Rockets fan and a Mavs fan or a Spurs fan.
I see that, though.
I would get that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I mean, people can do whatever the hell they want, and they're going to.
But there are factors, right? So, one, we know that Houston's a city full of transplants. Two, mm-hmm. the best player has to be someone that you somewhat relate to and have a connection with. You like them. Like, Deshaun's such a likable guy. Altuve's a likable guy. There's other likable guys in the city. And then when you look at that, then you also have to look at, are they a winning team? JJ's a great call. Are they winning? Because winning matters, and we know that in this town based on when we see the attendance in person at games. But then the other factor is let's not discount the fact when you started talking about, we were talking about rap game, and we were talking about people and their perception on rappers and things like that. It's how you were influenced growing up. AT&T Sportsnet, before when it was Comcast Sportsnet, it wasn't available to 60% of the market. And guess what? The Rockets didn't think it mattered, but it did. Because now, instead of watching Rockets games, which they couldn't get, they were watching the national games. And you know who was on the national games? Kobe Bryant, LeBron mm-hmm. James. Guys that then they became connected to. So then they started buying the gear. Then they wanted to see the tickets. And before you knew it, they became lifelong fans of a team other than your home team because you were too stubborn, worried about the dollars to make sense of the fact that you needed to make sure your games were available to the entire city.
You know what's going to be weird this year watching football? Is that I know stuff about the Chiefs. It's just going to be so weird to try to sit down and force myself to root for a team I have no connection with.
Oh, you know, it's going to be even harder
other than
because
being
we're
a lifelong,
going to hold you to it.
Other than being a lifelong fan for 2 weeks.
At least you got a bunch of players on that squad that you can root for. Like
no.
Patrick Mahomes is
no.
obviously a team.
I could root for Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt. What I have, Nick, on my Chiefs team, the team I love, the
Wally
team
the
I live and die for, that's right. I got a legit head coach.
A cheeseburger eating, fun loving guy.
That's my head coach, man.
With all this stupid broom challenge.
It's my quarterback.
You don't need to do the broom challenge that's sweeping social media because Andy's got one under his
Andy
nose.
Andy Reid. A real quarterback whisperer, a real offensive guru, not some fake ass fly by night. And he's one and done.
He's a champion, both punt, pass, and kick, and Super Bowl champion.
Greatest football moment in the history of football.
Bill O'Brien is on the HRMP hotline. Welcome to the show, sir.
Bill, what's up, man? Talk to me.
God, he loves us. Before we go to the break, do want to tell you about a hometown team that you can always cheer for, and that's Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing, locally owned and operated and dedicated to the people of Houston, Texas. So that means you're not going to worry about hiring people that are storm chasers, deposit thieves, sketchy roofers that take your money up front, don't show up to do great work, and then you can't find them to finish the deal correctly. Fitz Roofing is guaranteeing that they are going to be there for you because they are committed to Houston. So much so that they have a Fitz Roofing Fitz for Families program. 10% of all their profits goes back to the people that are in the community that need help with their roof, can't afford to pay for it because they just want to give back. It's real simple. Check them out, FITZroofing.com, or better yet, call 832-521-3001 and set up your free no-obligation inspection today. That's right. You call them, they come to you, they tell you what they can do, and then they wait for your call. If you call them, they're going to do great work, and they're going to take care of you throughout the process because they know that they're dedicated to the people of H-Town. The money is perfectly put in, whether you pay up front or you pay on a payment plan, they're going to make sure their base warranty is longer than your average roofer, and they take care of you with customer service throughout the sale. It's an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. You don't get better than that, and you get it from Fitz. Check them out. I'm telling you, FITZroofing.com or 832-521-3001 for that free no-obligation inspection. Fitz Roofing, making a difference, one home at a time.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Wrapping up hour number 2, 3-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Tuesday. If you're just tuning in, the theme for Wayback Wednesday is already spoken for. It is chosen. It is songs from the cities that have XFL teams. So we are ready for that one.
I don't even know all the... I know we went over them, but I don't remember.
Seattle has one, so you got some grunge band possibilities.
Okay.
L.A.
St. Louis obviously has one. By the way, did you see that they Nelly's fired their defensive coordinator, yes, Pepper Johnson, after playing Houston?
One game.
One Bro. Game in, and the D coordinator got fired because of the way Houston rang up the score.
What did he do?
I guess that's what they were asking. What did you do? Because you didn't stop him.
Gave up 31 points in his debut in the XFL. And they
Pepper
were like,
Johnson, who was a really good player for the Giants, was a pretty respected coach in the NFL for a while. One game in. Here's your pink slip, bro.
This is perfect. So there are 8 XFL teams, so you can't duplicate the city. So you have to have one song from every city.
Come on, Nick. Not perfect.
Yeah. So look, there's only one difficult one on here, and that's Tampa Bay.
Well, the bonus is you don't have Green Bay, because then you'd be out.
True. So you've got, well, D.C., but you've got Dallas, Houston, D.C., L.A., New York, St. Louis, Tampa Bay, and Seattle. So you need 8 songs from 8 different cities. Not that big of a deal.
I'm going to tell you right now.
The Tampa Bay
I'm
going to
get the hour with 7 and Tampa's out.
You still have to. No, Joel, you don't know the rule. You still have to turn in 8. It's just you don't get. The one doesn't get played. You still got to have 8 songs, buddy.
Nick, how true is that? Sometimes we just, some people submit 7.
Yeah, that's what we agreed on. We've been doing that for a year now. 8 songs.
We've been doing it for over a year since we stopped the voting, actually.
Absolutely.
Which has been a while.
I don't appreciate you guys ganging up on me. Fine. Tampa. Who the hell's from Tampa as a musical artist?
Look, I'm going to Google best bands.
It's pretty bad. I already did that. It's pretty bad.
Really? Best bands
from
Tampa
Bay. Well, I
did rappers.
Maybe there's some rock bands.
No. Decide, Obituary, Iced Earth, Nocturnus, The Outlaws, Camelot, Asheron, I don't know, P. Shy?
That's weird. Well, you know, some people are P. Shy.
Yeah. KJ-52.
Ooh, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Done. PYT. Yes. I don't know that. Slap
is that the Pretty Young Things?
No.
Or?
That's just 4 white girls that probably sing Bubblegum Pop. Yeah. Slim Pickens on Tampa.
Good Lord, boy, that's a great idea. But you should just keep submitting other ideas.
I'm going to go with Rabbit in the Moon. No clue.
So basically, we should just do like the Blitz. We're going to feature new local artists or new artists because we're going to find some artists in Tampa. We have no idea.
Best top 40 bands in Tampa.
You want to change that rule?
Nope.
You can duplicate?
Nope. One from each
city,
bro. Can
I pull the Super Bowl halftime show
from
Tampa?
I can't wait to hear what song you sing. You choose from Iced Earth.
God. It's the dumbest idea ever.
No, it's pretty awesome. Because we know at least one song in every list is going to suck booty.
Oh, boy. So the listeners got that to look forward to. Yeah. There's a reason to tune in tomorrow.
So you're not a big fan of PYT? Same old, same old?
Nope.
But
I here's the thing. I actually care enough that if I don't know the song and I don't think the listeners will like it, that I won't put it. After the last few weeks, we know Barry doesn't give a rat's ass. He's just going to put it on there and go, well, I got Tampa covered off the list. Check mark.
Bro, PYT, same old, same old. Book it.
At least the other cities are better. But yeah, Tampa is a disaster.
Tampa is slim pickings.
You can put your boy on that you saw in Vegas for St. Louis.
Yeah, Nelly.
Does St. Louis have a team?
Nelly, yeah.
Yeah, St. Louis.
He just said that.
Yeah. The St. Louis Battlehawks.
Yeah, I think they won last week.
Oh, did they?
Seattle's got a squad. Yeah. L.A., New York.
It's going to be good.
It's not bad. I think outside of Tampa Bay, it's not that bad.
Yeah. Tampa's the big like question mark for everybody. So, all right. I don't know if you guys saw this last night. Crazy how sometimes the schedule works out. Andre Iguodala, after being traded for by the Heat and then signing the extension, lo and behold, they played in the Bay Area last night. So they did the pregame video, and they honored him and thanked him for his time with the Warriors, and he was very classy. But the coolest thing all night was, Klay Thompson's not very big, and you probably know this, Nick, from interviewing him in the locker room. He didn't like to talk a whole lot, right? But someone had to speak from the team's perspective pregame to honor Iggy. They did rock, paper, scissors, 2 out of 3 between him and Steph Curry who was going to speak, and Klay won. And he actually did a nice job, but Iguodala said this was really touching, and he was like how much it meant to him, and it was classy all the way around. He goes, but the fact that Klay spoke, because he really doesn't like to speak, he goes, that meant more than anything else to me, and it was really cool.
Now, did they rock, paper, scissors because they didn't want to do it? Or did they rock, paper, scissors because they were eager to do it?
I think to see which one was going to do it. Because Steph, I know, to see who was going to do it.
Okay.
They play golf. They do everything
together. So what you're saying is it wasn't like, God, I don't want to do this. You do it. I don't want to do it. All right, loser of rock, paper, scissors has to do it.
The fact that Klay was willing to do rock, paper, scissors.
It's because they both wanted to do it.
He wanted to do it.
Gotcha.
Because I thought it was a situation where they did not want to do it.
Right. Someone caught it on film, and when they showed it and rewound it, Klay, he did not look disappointed he was going to do it.
Yeah.
So that was very cool. It also helps that they were both on the injured list so that they weren't worried about playing a game that night. And by the way, their team wasn't either because they got whacked by the Heat. But well, you kind of expected that.
Yeah.
But look,
figured that would happen between like Jeff Bagwell and Craig Biggio, because Jeff Bagwell is a guy that doesn't really like to speak, right?
Very true. Yes. Yeah. So that was actually a very cool moment. Now they're saying that Kevin Durant's going to be making it, whether he's on the trip or not with Brooklyn. They have yet to come in, and they're wondering. People were wondering aloud. Well, they did Iguodala's video, and it was a heartfelt tribute, and everybody loved to see him. Think they'll do that for KD?
No, it's just going to be like, hey, it's 2-for-1 cupcakes at the.
Yeah, I was surprised that when they went to Brooklyn, that Steph. And Steph's a class act, but that they went and hugged and chatted it up and everything like that. I was like, boy, the way it all ended, because Steph was like on a plane going to recruit Durant to come back when he said he was going to sign with the Nets.
Wow.
And he had stopped a family vacation or something in the middle to try and go get him and make a push. And they had to inform him when he landed. Yeah, he just said he's signing with the Nets.
Wow.
So I could see it from Steph's perspective, but KD's kind of petty these days.
Real petty.
Yeah, but after that Achilles injury, I wouldn't be too happy with them either.
Yeah.
That's a tough injury to go. He has been petty. He has been, without a doubt. He's been an absolute baby. But after that Achilles injury, there's no way I'm re-signing with the Warriors. No way.
You blaming the medical staff?
I mean, kind
of. For the re-injury.
I mean, how many times have we talked about how much hate did he get for resting and for all that other stuff? And then all of a sudden,
Steph's team.
The fact that he wouldn't sign multi-year contracts with the team, all that stuff he got hate for. Now, has he been acting petty in some of his tweets? Absolutely.
And the burner account was obviously petty and all that. But and you mentioned that, Nick, because I was going to bring that up too. The Oklahoma City time of his career is over with. It should just be in the past, right? It just didn't work out. Instead, he was on a podcast with one of my all-time favorites, Matt Barnes, as well as Steven Jackson, and they asked him about his time in OKC. And he said, in OKC, I played with a lot of athletes. I didn't play with a lot of skill guys, not like shooters and ball handlers. So after a while, my game started to grow, and I was like, I need a change. This was before the 2015-16 season even started. I was tired of being the only guy who could make threes, make jump shots, and consistently make them. Ouch!
Yeah. Not nice.
No! Russell Westbrook takes note. I mean,
yeah. you could probably thank Kendrick Perkins for that, because he probably relit that fire in KD's ass, and that's why he said it on the podcast.
And then you saw that after the Kobe helicopter went down, Perk tried to go make amends and tell him he loved him and everything, and I don't think KD ever responded.
A good joke from the show this past week on KD that Kanice wrote was, KD says he's not getting rid of his burner account on Twitter, that he's going to keep it, but he won't be using it as much because it makes his fingers bleed, what with his thin skin and all.
That's pretty good.
So good.
All right, 2 hours in. 60 minutes still to go. Don't go anywhere. It's the final hour of the show. It's coming up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.